A special appeal to Christians in a time of global crisis. Christ calls us to be light and salt, not silent observers of authoritarianism disguised as salvation. As a Christian observing from Australia, I understand the powerful appeal of leaders like Donald Trump, Vladimir Putin, and Viktor Orban, especially to believers who see a world spinning off its moral axis. In a time marked by cultural confusion, political corruption, and growing spiritual emptiness, it's tempting to place our hopes in strongmen who promise to fight back, restore order, and uphold traditional values. Now that Trump has returned to the presidency, many Christians feel vindicated. After all, doesn't he oppose the very ideologies that have caused so much damage? Radical progressivism, moral relativism, globalist overreach. But this isn't just about Trump. Putin cloaks his authoritarianism in Orthodox symbolism and Russian exceptionalism. Orban brands Hungary as a Christian democracy while hollowing out democratic institutions. All three speak the language of faith and tradition, while consolidating power in ways that undermine the very spiritual values they claim to defend. And so, I believe we are at a dangerous crossroads. This is not just an American problem, it is a global one. Across the world, democracies are weakening, societies are fragmenting, and faith is being manipulated to serve political ends. Millions are suffering, and in our desire for stability, we risk making the same mistake that history has repeated too many times, putting our trust in men and in power instead of principle. We need to pause, not to condemn those who support these leaders, but to reflect on where we are, what we are being asked to support, and what it means for the body of Christ in this generation. Let us look not to headlines or politicians, but to Christ, and specifically, to his temptations in the wilderness. The three temptations of Christ, then and now. In the Gospel accounts, Christ faced three temptations: to turn stones into bread, to leap from the temple to prove his divinity, and to accept dominion over the world by bowing to Satan. The Russian novelist Fyodor Dostoevsky described these questions as being at the ultimate spiritual crossroads of human history, questions that every civilization must eventually answer. He wrote, "By the questions alone, simply by the miracle of their appearance, one can see that one is dealing with a mind not human and transient but eternal and absolute. Three images are revealed that will take in all the insoluble historical contradictions of human nature over all the earth." In other words, these temptations weren't invented for dramatic effect. Their very perfection reveals their eternal relevance. Temptation 1. Bread alone. The first temptation, "Turn these stones into bread," speaks to our bodily appetites, our desire for comfort and pleasure. Modern capitalism, stripped of ethics, tells us we are what we consume. The neoliberal worldview proclaims that greed leads to prosperity. The postmodern ethos insists that truth is whatever we want it to be. Together, these ideologies have created a new religion, consumerism. This is the world many Christians believe Trump, Putin, and Orban are fighting against. But here's the tragic irony: their movements do not challenge this false gospel, they embody it. Each of them has built a brand on spectacle, ego, wealth, and domination. They reflect the culture's broken values while claiming to resist them. Christ's answer still stands: man shall not live by bread alone. Freedom is not indulgence. True liberty requires self-mastery. Temptation 2. Faith without responsibility. The second temptation is about using faith as a justification for recklessness or moral compromise. Satan urges Jesus to leap from the temple, claiming that angels will save him. Jesus responds, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Today, many Christians excuse the failings of strongmen by saying, "God uses imperfect vessels." They pray for revival while supporting leaders who flout truth, decency, and accountability. In Russia, the Orthodox Church has become a tool of the state, blessing wars of aggression. In Hungary, faith is often reduced to a cultural badge rather than a living witness. In America, religious symbols are increasingly used as political props. Faith without responsibility leads to idolatry. And idolatry always demands sacrifice, often of truth, justice, and the most vulnerable. Temptation 3. Power without conscience. Finally, Satan offers Jesus dominion over the kingdoms of the world if he will bow down and worship. This is the temptation of raw power, The belief that the ends justify the means. That if we can just control the institutions, dominate the courts, win the culture war, then we can fix everything. This is the temptation Christians face globally, to trade the cross for the crown. Trump speaks of retribution. Putin crushes dissent while invoking Christian civilization. Orban rewrites laws to eliminate opposition, all while quoting scripture. They offer moral certainty, national greatness, and religious protection, but demand obedience to political authority in return. But Jesus said no, he did not build his kingdom through coercion. He laid down his life, and called his followers to do the same. The deeper danger. These temptations have not just returned, they've been rebranded as virtues. Freedom is now framed as license. Faith becomes a political identity. Power is seen as righteousness. And the most dangerous lie, that the only solution left is divine intervention. That only God can save us, so we can abdicate responsibility. But that too is a temptation. The temptation of fatalism, of surrender, of blind allegiance to those who claim to speak for God while behaving like kings. The path forward, a global Christian response. We cannot go on like this. The global church must offer more than partisan politics and culture war slogans. We must model something better. That begins with rejecting the three temptations, just as Christ did. It requires us to affirm that freedom is sacred and moral, that power is to be shared, not hoarded, and that peace is built through conscience, not coercion. That vision is embodied in the Freedom Declaration for Peace, a global call to rediscover the moral foundations of civil society. Not a political program, but a spiritual and philosophical realignment for a world that has lost its story. It declares that cooperation, not conquest, is the path forward. That freedom, rightly understood, is God's gift to all humanity. And that the role of Christians is not to dominate nations, but to serve as moral exemplars in every society. Let the kingdom begin within. Christ said, "The kingdom of God is within you." That's where our revolution begins, not in Washington, Moscow, Budapest, or Canberra, but in the quiet conviction that we are called to a higher standard. Not to win at all costs, but to live with moral clarity. Not to impose truth, but to embody it. Not to seek kings, but to follow the king who knelt, who washed feet, who forgave his enemies. A final word. To my fellow Christians around the world, whether you live under liberal democracies, fragile regimes, or rising autocracies, this is our moment. Trump is back in power. Putin continues to tighten his grip. Orban is entrenching a model many seek to replicate. But beneath it all is growing disillusionment. The world is hungry for something deeper than strongmen and slogans. It is hungry for peace rooted in principle, for truth spoken with grace, and for freedom grounded in virtue. We can be the answer to that hunger. Sign the Freedom Declaration for Peace, and let the world see that followers of Christ still stand for humility, responsibility, and the true meaning of freedom. Let history record that we did not mistake power for righteousness. Let it be said that when the temptations returned, we chose Christ again. Together, we can reject the lies. Together, we can build the civilization the blind men cannot see.